Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Roll Skis podcast, UConn's home for all sports talk. I'm your host, Liam O'Keefe, and we made it back for another episode. They had us back. They said, Liam, we need more. This is too perfect. We need you to come back and record more episodes, in which I said, of course I would. Now, that's not actually what happened. I'm glad to be back, though. Very excited. We've got a great episode, too, for you guys here. We're, of course, going to go over the three, you know, hometown, you can call them, teams around the area, the Patriots, Giants, and Jets. Very interesting. Last week, there was a lot of pessimism on that subject, but this week, we've got a whole lot more to talk about. Two of those teams ended up with some pretty major wins, and the Jets are still the Jets, but we'll have a more in-depth talk about them. We're also going to talk about Green Bay. They're on a little bit of a skid right now. I don't know what to make of that. We'll talk about it, go a little more in-depth. Chiefs-Ravens, big game with some major implications early in the year, and it was shocking to me. It didn't really end how I thought it would, so we got to make sure that we cover that as well. And then UConn football, they take a last-second win against Buffalo. We'll go in, we'll dissect it, check out everything that goes on, and yeah, we'll just get right into it. We'll start with the Northeast teams first. We'll go Patriots, Jets, Giants, starting in that order, because the Patriots picked up a major win. Last week I was talking about how I thought they weren't playing super well, complete whole football. They kept beating themselves up. They weren't capitalizing on opportunities. They were shooting themselves in the leg more than anything. And this week, that didn't happen once. They played 60 minutes of perfect football. I thought it was fantastic. And obviously, they played the Carolina Panthers. You can't forget that. They are an awful team. But the Patriots were also considered an awful team. You know, there was a lot of talk on Twitter between Patriots fans and Panthers fans. They were going back and forth. There was a battle of mid, if you know you can call it that. But the Patriots were very victorious. They smoked them. They came out a little slow. I watched the start of this game. The Panthers looked good out of the gates. They got an easy touchdown drive, very first drive. Bryce Young was 6 for 6, touchdown pass. He looked clean, and then from there, it was just over. Marcus Jones got the scoring started with that smooth 87-yard punt return touchdown. He's been playing amazing all season. The special teams in general for the Patriots has been a huge positive, with the exception of field goal or extra point kicking by the rookie, but he seemed to have gotten that figured out now. But Marcus Jones played a fantastic game today, not today, this weekend, and it played a huge part. It set the tone. Drake May is here. I'm just ready to call it. The guy is playing out of his mind good. It's really, really impressive to see from a second-year quarterback who was considered to be a raw prospect coming out of the draft. He didn't come from a big SEC school or anything like that. People had some questions about how he would play against a real, you know, real, in quotation marks, teams with a lot of talent, big draft picks coming from major SEC schools. And his rookie year, he sat a little bit. Then he came out, and he looked half-baked in a way. He didn't look fully ready. They should have waited a little longer, but they couldn't because of the situation that they were in. And now he's got a full offseason and a brand-new offense with huge additions. So many of their additions have hit that it's just so easy for Drake May to succeed. Will Campbell has looked amazing. Morgan Moses, the opposite side tackle, he's a veteran. He's been looking great as well. It's really, really interesting. Like, Stephon Diggs, he, coming off an ACL tear, has been very good. He just had his first 100-yard game as a Patriot last week. So many things are trending in the right direction for this team. I'm very excited to see. I think they can hit their top end, you know, like their top end floor here. That could be 10, 11 wins. You know, you might shock people when you say that. I'm not sure what general consensus is anymore. They're 2-2 right now. I think they could finish 10-7, 11-6. They have a very, very easy schedule. You want to check it out. They've got a stretch of games. I don't know if this is in order, but it's Saints, Browns, Titans, Falcons, something to that effect. That's a four-game stretch where they should go 4-0. And they play the Jets 2 times, who we'll talk about in a second. They play Miami 1 more time. This week, they do play Buffalo on prime time. I expect that one to be a loss. I think it can be close, but when you go into Buffalo, they're wearing those sweet new white rivalry uniforms Buffalo is. it's just going to be too much, I think. I don't anticipate a win this upcoming week. I think it can be close, but some things are just way too, you know, written in the stars. In Buffalo, those white uniforms. Buffalo just came off a rough game against New Orleans. It seemed very trap game-esque going in, and it almost was. I think New Orleans had the lead for a little bit, and it was very close the entire game for the most part until the very end. But it was a fight, so I think Buffalo really has something to prove. They're going to come out, and I imagine they will handle the Patriots fairly well after saying all this. But we can move now to New Jersey, East Rutherford. We will start with the Jets because they're the least interesting of the two. They played on Monday Night Football against the Dolphins, where they lost. They handed Miami their first W of the year. But I really think some of the calls that, you know, the Jets were and were not getting was insane. The discrepancy when they were throwing the flags was unreal. That Garrett Wilson touchdown that was taken away because of offensive pass interference, ridiculous. Every wide receiver you know throws his hand out like that to create a little separation, and they almost never call it. But they called it that time, and it was nuts. I couldn't believe it. Like, it just wiped a touchdown off the board for nothing. It was unreal to me to witness that, like, watching it live. My roommate is a Jets fan, and we were watching it. He couldn't believe his eyes when they took that one away. And then they had a late hit that wasn't called. There were a couple more that were just insane no calls. That felt like not the entire story of the game, but a really big part of it. Wiped a touchdown off the board in a one-score game. That makes all the difference. Justin Fields did not look great, though. We do have to be real. Like, Justin Fields is Justin Fields. You know what you're going to get out of him. He had a sick 43-yard run, and then he can't pass in rhythm. And then he sucks throwing and staying in the pocket, and he's not all that accurate. So it's both sides of the coin with him. You get what you get, and you don't get upset. You paid him. You wanted this. You wanted a lethal run game. And that's how it gets done. This is what happens when you sign Justin Fields. You know, the other major talking point in this game, Tyreek Hill, his leg. Oh, I'm getting chills just rethinking it. A nasty, nasty injury. You really have to feel bad for the guy. He might not be the greatest person ever, but no one deserves to go through an injury like that. Oh my goodness, it was scary. His leg completely, I think it was like a full dislocated knee, they said. It's probably the end for him, if we're being honest now. He's already pretty old. You can't really come back from an injury that bad. I assume, you know, technology and medicine gets better and better every single day, but he was already an aging guy, relying a lot on his incredible deep threat ability, his speed. And taking a major injury like that to his legs, he's already out for the season. He's going to come back a year older and try and play for, like, Miami or another team like that. I just think his career is pretty much over. I was talking to some of my friends who, you know, saw the injury as well, and I've already laid out my prediction. He's probably going to miss. He's going to miss all of this year, for sure. I imagine he'll miss the majority of next season, if not all of it. And then he's going to go back to Kansas City, put up the, you know, like the coolest 600-yard, 2-touchdown season ever, and then hang up the cleats. You can see it too, can't you? He comes back, the media blows it up, you know, they got Tyreek Hill back. How will he respond? And he's just not the same, the old vet thing. He's coming home for his last, you know, his last hurrah in a way, because you can tell he loves Kansas City. He misses being there. But back to the Jets, which is what this topic is on. They're 0-4. They're last in the division. They're just not there yet. They beat themselves up, though. Breece Hall put it in a very funny way, if you didn't hear. He says, other teams shoot themselves in the leg, and then we turn around and shoot ourselves in the head. I thought that was really funny. It's just the Jets. That's always what they do. It doesn't matter who the coach is, it doesn't matter who the quarterback is, the Jets are just going to be the Jets. They stink. They're going to mess up. Oh, I'm remembering the other call now. They gave like a holding call on like a pivotal third down to one of the tackles when the right guard got his helmet completely blown off his face in a hands to the face call that was so blatant, they just missed it. It's like, as a referee, a player just got his helmet knocked off his head. There's probably a flag that should follow that. But instead, they called it on the offense for a holding call instead. And he was holding. But those should be offsetting. That's the thing. Like, no call went the Jets' way. I had to put that back out there. But New York, they're undisciplined. They had a lot of penalties in their own right. They, you know, they just shoot themselves in the foot or in the head. And it's hard to recover when you're doing that. They have a long way to go to be competitive. They've got building blocks. My God, Garrett Wilson is an unreal receiver. Please get him some help or get him out of there. He has top 10, top 5 potential if you get him a real quarterback in an insane offensive system. It sucks that he's living his time out as a New York Jet. Same with Sauce Gardner, same with Quinnen Williams. So much elite top-end talent on that team that is just never going to be fully recognized because you're winning 5 to 6 games every year and consistently picking in the top 10 and then wasting that top 10 pick. It's a cycle we've seen. It's a tale as old as time for fans of New York. However, a different tale in New York, an emerging quarterback star potentially in Jackson Dart. I don't want to go too far yet. I don't want to overreact, but the New York Giants played the Chargers, the 3-0 Chargers in MetLife on Sunday, and they looked pretty good. They looked a whole lot better than I thought, and they got the win. They miraculously got the win against the 3-0 Chargers, and let's be real, a lot of this game was also on injuries. Malik Nabers tore his ACL. He's out for the year. You can just throw my fantasy team in the garbage, I guess, because there goes my first-round pick. Joe Alt for the Chargers. He has a pretty major injury, too. I don't know if they've officially come out and said exactly what it is, but he needed to be carted off as well. Major losses for both teams, but in the end, the Chargers couldn't overcome this because they're missing both of their starting tackles, and the Giants' defensive line is disgusting. If you go into that game missing your tackles, you probably are going to lose. There was a lot of talk on the Giants' offense going into the game because they were starting a rookie quarterback, but the defense was really what should have been the talking point the whole time. They are filthy. They are so good. They can rush the quarterback. Carter, Brian Burns had a monster game. Dexter Lawrence, you know, he was doing his thing, the sexy Dexy. He had an interception. He should have returned it. He was so close to having one of those all-time big man returns, but Justin Herbert tripped him up before he got in the end zone. Herbert didn't play his best game. The Giants defense had him in hell. I'll call it what it was. Giants defense had Herbert in hell, which was insane. But Jackson Dart, we'll talk about him now, his play. It wasn't anything crazy. It was better than what Russell Wilson would have done, I can guarantee you that. Dart was very clearly the better quarterback of the two of them, but he didn't do anything insane either. He ran the ball a lot, which was nice. He's a very mobile guy. He's more mobile than I gave him credit for. They ran him a lot on just straight up QB power, and he was pretty effective. But when he was throwing the ball, it was just whatever. He's not really ripping it over the middle. He's not really running complex, you know, route concepts yet. And it's a rookie's first game, so you're not totally expecting that. But looking at his college scouting, it would have been nice to see them add to that to make him more of a complete player. And maybe they will. We can come back to this in 2 to 3 weeks and say, hey, you know, he has added this to his bag. He has been doing this more. But all in all, I thought it was a pretty good game from Jackson Dart. All things considered, he looked he looked poised in the pocket. He was willing to run, which is always helpful to be able to extend your legs. You look at the top quarterbacks in the league, they all can extend plays with their legs. They're mobile guys. That's what he can do. And I just really want to see more in the passing game, though. And it's going to be hard because Nabers is out. And they won this game because, like, Nabers wasn't going to be a main factor anyways because you could run the ball and the defense was so good, so you didn't feel his loss immediately, but they will feel the loss of Nabers soon. When Jackson Dart has to go out there and really air it out. And it's, you know, like what? Wandale Robinson, sorry. And who is it? Like, it's not Sterling Shepard. I'm blanking on his name. Sorry, Giants fans, I'm blanking. But it's like Theo Johnson and Scadabo. Good old Cam Scadabo, though. Talk about running hard, of course. He got a bunch of carries because Tyrone Tracy's out for a while. He looked pretty good. He was on my fantasy team. That's my James Conner replacement right there. But he did his thing. I thought he was fine, you know. He's going to get a lot of, like, boost in hype and aura because he's Cam Scadabo and he runs hard and he's cool. And, you know, he had a good college career, so he's going to be one of those guys. Even if his play isn't actually earth-shattering, it's going to be treated like he is because he's fun to watch. And that's, you know, fine by me as I knock everything over here. You know, Dart was fine. I want to see a little more in the passing game just to wrap that up and put a bow on it. Before we move on to the Sunday night football game, which was an absolute masterful game. Cowboys, Packers, back and forth the entire time. Incredibly entertaining to watch. And it ends in an overtime tie. I want to go and, like, it was no secret that the Packers had horrible clock management and sold the game, right? I'm not the only one thinking that. They had 28 seconds on their clock, no more timeouts in overtime, down three. They run a screen play, which, like, fine, whatever. Like, I understand, you know, you want to keep them honest, and a screen play is not what I would have done, but it's, you know, I can see the logic behind it. And then he gets tackled inbounds after, like, a gain of two, and there was no hustle. There was no heart. I couldn't believe it. There was no heart. They, like, sauntered on back to the line with then, like, 8 seconds left. They don't spike the ball. They throw it. They just go. And I was like, oh, my God. Like, all right, this is the game. And Jordan Love, like, lazily throws it into double coverage. And it's like, thank God it was batted down and not batted up, because that would have been the game. And the Packers would have lost. And the entire world would have freaked out and said, Matt LaFleur, what a big, dumb idiot for that. Because it was. That's big, dumb idiot stuff. The way they handled the end of that game was, like, ridiculous. The play calling, the decision making, the hustle, and, like, the heart. You know, you want to see heart. That's, like, the thing everyone chirps on. You want to see heart. And there was no heart in that game at all. Like, at the very end, there was a lot of heart in the game, I want to say. That incredible game. So much back and forth. But then, like, you take a step back after the game and you remember what these teams were going in. Who were these teams 2 weeks ago? The Packers looked unstoppable. They had dog-walked the Lions, and they had dog-walked the Commanders. And then they lose to the Browns and tie the Cowboys. Like, what? The Cowboys' defense is awful. This is Micah's revenge game. He was fine, like, a couple tackles, a sack that was like a fake zero-yard sack tackle, but they gave it to him. And then the Cowboys, they lost to the Eagles, scraped by the Russell Wilson Giants, and then they've kind of turned it around a little bit more, but oh my God, dude. Like, the Green Bay Packers 2 weeks ago were Super Bowl favorites. Everyone was talking about them as this incredible, like, unbeatable team. Like, the only team that could ever rival them for the Super Bowl is Philly. And even then, maybe they could win it. And it was like, and then they lose to Cleveland. And then they tie the Cowboys with no CeeDee Lamb, no Micah Parsons. This is not, like, the Cowboys of last year. Like, they should have smoked this team. And they just didn't. Their corners stink. Their corners are bad. Like, George Pickens was out there looking like prime Calvin Johnson. He was mossing double teams. He was just getting up there. He was always catching the ball. He looked unreal. And George Pickens is a good player in his own right. But when he's the only wide receiver out there, CeeDee Lamb was hurt. You weren't splitting time worrying about anyone else. You only had to worry about George Pickens. And that was it. And he looked unreal. The Packers, they need to make a move for a corner. I don't know how. Like, you got to find a guy at the deadline, trade for somebody. I don't know who will be available, but you got to get someone. They don't have a Super Bowl caliber, like, safety. Their safeties are actually not safeties. DBs. They don't have Super Bowl caliber DBs. Their corners are not that good. Their safeties are good. Xavier McKinney is still a dog. But their corners, just not there. They're not Super Bowl caliber stuff. I've just said it. You know, I don't need to be repeating myself here. The rest of the team looks fantastic. The offense, they shredded the Cowboys' defense. Like, the defense was really the issue for Green Bay. Their defensive line, Rashawn Gary had an injury. You know, you wonder how that's going to affect them the rest of the year. But Micah looked great. And it's just, like, what's going on? The Packers need to get their stuff together or else, like, they're going to look ridiculous. They play in a very hard division. The Lions have already looked like their old selves again. The Bears looked really great against the same Cowboys. The Bears hung up like 50 on them, and you tie them. It, like, this is a hard division. Their schedule for the next couple weeks is easy. They have get right games. They've got the Bengals, who look trash. They've got the Cardinals, who look pretty trash. They're not up to their full potential. The Cardinals, I was high on them going into the year, and now they look really rough. The Steelers will be a close game. Aaron Rodgers versus the Packers again. That's going to be a good game. Then they play the Panthers. Like, then they roll into their matchup against Philly on Monday night. But you have, like, three good get-right games in there to be able to figure out who you are, what your identity is, how you want to play the game. And if you can't by that point, like, it's just over, and you're a disappointment. I need to see more from this defense if I really want to call them true Super Bowl contenders. I'm not there right now. I can't after the last 2 weeks when you lose to Cleveland and tie to this iteration of Dallas. I'm just not there. I can't take them too seriously. They can obviously turn it around. They can change my mind. But as of right now, just no way. Then we'll move on now. We'll move past that to the Chiefs and the Ravens. That game, shocking. Kansas City, Patrick Mahomes, 4 touchdowns. He looked like himself. You know, I think, you know, Xavier Worthy, this just shows how valuable he truly is. When he comes back, the offense starts to click a little more. They have another serious weapon in there, and it's not Tyquan Thornton and Juju Smith-Schuster out there just, you know, out there hooping, just doing whatever they want. Xavier Worthy really truly is a good wide receiver and, like, a valuable, like, needle mover, not in, like, the traditional sense, but a needle mover that keeps the offense on pace and keeps a defense honest. You know, he's a better Tyquan Thornton. They're the same role, but Worthy's just so much better, so much faster, so much more refined and skilled. But the real story of this game, Baltimore looked bad, and they looked bad last week, and they didn't look, despite what you might think about the box score from the Browns game, it was close for 3 quarters. It was a close game against Cleveland, and then they choked against Buffalo. They are not the dominant Ravens of the past right now, and I need to see more. The defense is broken. The defense is, it's like a charity case out there. The amount of guys, Travis Homer, the other guy, I'm blanking out his name, it's hard to pronounce, Matabike, he's out for the year, he hurt his neck. Nate Wiggins, he got carted off. Marlon Humphrey, he's out. Like, Kyle Van Noy, who was, like, their leading sack contributor last year. Those are 5 starters already out, and I know I'm forgetting people already. I know there's more that I haven't talked about, but you just can't have that many injuries and expect to be competitive. Their defense is a whole, like, nothing burger right now. On top of the fact, Roquan Smith isn't playing up to his standards either. Roquan is a really, really good player at his best. Last year, he ended last year on a tear. He was playing out of his mind. And this year, he's starting kind of slow. I don't really know what's going on with him. I don't know if it's the defensive coordinator, but it's the same guy from last year. I don't know if it's just the other injuries on this defense are making it harder for him. He can't succeed because he's, you know, the situation around him isn't as good, is always totally possible. But He's not playing up to standard at all. So it's just hard when you have to go up against Patrick Mahomes and your defense kind of sucks. It sucks, but that's just how it gets done. Lamar, he left the game as well, hamstring injury. Not much has been reported on it since. As I'm recording right now, it's Tuesday, and nothing's been said about it. I wonder if he's still at practice. I haven't heard anything that this injury is too concerning, but regardless, he didn't play the final, like, quarter and a half of the game, so you've got to worry what's up with that. He took a couple sacks. They weren't anything major, but they're asking him to do everything right now. He took 7 sacks against the Lions. They're just not, they don't have the infrastructure right now to really compete with the best teams in the league. And I know they've only played the best teams in the league right now, it seems. Bills, Lions, Chiefs, your first 3 weeks is brutal. I wouldn't wish that on anybody. Most teams should be in the position that, like, would be in the position that Baltimore's in right now at 1-3 with that schedule. But Baltimore is supposed to be different. Baltimore is supposed to be a undisputed Super Bowl champion, or at least Super Bowl contender, rather. Let me dial that back. So to see them go out there and choke it against the Bills, like play at least one half of bad football against the Browns, I would call it 3/4 of bad football, then have the Lions, you know, really take it up against you in the fourth quarter, and then just get smacked around by the Chiefs, they're not looking like the Ravens how we all expect them to. And I'm kind of wondering, are we heating up John Harbaugh's seat as the head coach a little bit? If they, like, injuries is one thing, and you can't excuse the injuries, but you can still look good with these injuries. I want to see them adapt. I want to see them turn this around before, like, before the trade deadline. I really want to see, like, the guys will come back, they'll be healthier. I want to see them end the year strong, because the division is already slipping away. You are 1-3, the Bengals are 2-2, the Steelers are 3-1. You are tied for last in this division. You need to get on it. You can't afford too many losses, or else the season's just a wash. The Ravens need to start cooking now, or else the season could just be lost on them. There's a lot of good teams in the AFC. The Chargers and the Chiefs already look good. The Broncos had a bounce back. The Jaguars are 3-1. The Colts are 3-1. The Patriots even look kind of good. They could probably push for a wild card spot, a 6th or 7th seed. So you got to be on your stuff. You have a hard schedule. You play in a hard division. You have not played a good division. You played the Browns, which is a division game, but a fake division game. You haven't played the Steelers yet. If I haven't checked the schedule, if they play the Bengals later in the year when Joe Burrow comes back, there's no guarantee they win that either. I'm a little concerned right now for the Ravens, and I really, like, the defense needs to step up, but the offense, which is healthy, just needs to play better, and Jim Harbaugh needs to play a better, you know, have a better game plan around it. I do want to talk about the Chiefs before anything else. I want to talk about the Chiefs. They played a good game. Things turned up right for them, and I get, you know, Baltimore's defense is not that good. We already briefly mentioned the Chiefs, but I just really wanted to put a final touching bow on it. Patrick Mahomes, please don't overthink it. Still very, very good. I would probably take Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson over him right now, but people were putting him in ridiculous conversations saying it was over for him. And I saw a bunch of that mess on Twitter at, you know, the last couple weeks. So it's good to see him really be back and play a game, and for the Chiefs to get a good win under their belt. I think they're going to start to roll. I think they'll be able to push for this division again. This, you know, if the Chargers deal with their injuries, they've lost their starting 2 tackles for, it looks like, a while. Slater's already out the year. If Alt misses the entire year, you can chalk this up to nothing, because it's so, you can't compete when you've lost your starting 2 tackles. I don't care who your quarterback is or who your head coach is. So the Chiefs are still very in the AFC West race. They're still in the AFC race as a whole. We overreact all the time. It's my job to overreact. I've overreacted in this podcast right now. But you cannot overreact to just 2 weeks of football. That's really the smart part of the business. Now we can end with UConn football. Let's go. Another W. The last second field goal to take the win over Buffalo at Buffalo. The story of this game to me watching, they didn't play a pretty game of football at all. They had some missed opportunities. They had some, you know, big-time screw-ups. But in the end, they came out with a win. And you can look at that positively or negatively, depending on how you want. You can say the team isn't there. They're not truly, you know, a good team because they keep making these mistakes. They're not playing, you know, perfect complementary football. You hear that all the time. Or you can say they messed up. They didn't play their great football. They didn't capitalize on all the opportunities. And they still won an away game against a team that I would say is of equal strength. You have to remember last year, they played some ugly games and they won some games in an ugly manner. So we can't look back at last year when they had their best season in forever and assume that they just played perfect. You have to remember last year they played some teams ugly, but they won. And that's what you have to look at. This is they've got two wins in a row. They play FIU at home this week. That should hopefully be another win. What you really are looking forward to as a UConn football fan, 2 weeks they play Boston College, a major, major, major opportunity for the program. ACC team. UConn is trying to move up. They're trying to get back into a conference. And if they can beat that Boston College team, who's not that good this year, Boston College, definitely, you know, not the crown jewel of the ACC, but a good team nonetheless, a team in a respected conference, something that if you can take that win, people are going to start to notice. It's the same thought that I had last week against Syracuse. You have another opportunity to do that with this Boston College game in a couple weeks. If you can handle business at home this week against FIU and go into Boston with a 3-game win streak, you would be, 4-2. You can go in there and you can fight and steal a win. That would be massive for the program, for the locker room, for the culture, everything. That's really what my mind is set on for that team. I think they're a good team. I don't think they're quite as good as last year. I wonder if they're not going to have the same success as last year because their schedule's a little harder. They play Duke and they play just harder teams, and they still have, you know, your UABs in there and your FAUs, which you should hopefully capitalize and take advantage of and add wins to your team. But I think last year's team probably beats this year's team, despite, you know, the insane Skylar Bell performances that we're seeing. He's got so many yards and catches compared to everyone else. I don't have the numbers right in front of me. I was looking at them earlier, but he's obviously insane. I don't need to tell you that if you're listening to a UConn, you know, sports podcast. You know how good Skylar Bell is. But that's really all I have to say about the NFL and UConn football this week. I thank you all so much for listening to this podcast. I don't know if you guys could tell this. I tried with no cuts. This was my first, you know, we were just going to talk and make it feel like a conversation, no cuts, and just go for it. So we've got a lot to work on, I think, myself personally. But I hope you still enjoyed nonetheless. And I will be back next week to cover more of the same. Check out the world of football. Maybe talk a little basketball. Maybe talk a little playoff baseball. We'll see. But as of right now, thank you all so much for listening. And as always, roll skis.